Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe. Finally got my voice back after being sick. And today I wanted to talk about something that's actually been coming up a fair bit with the people I coach, and I figure that it's probably been coming up for a lot of people at the moment as well, which is when, you know, like maybe last year you were used to training in a certain way, used to having a certain amount of time, and now this year you've got like a whole heap of more like either work demands or study demands or family demands, and it just seems like maybe you can't quite fit it all in. And there can be that tension between I want to train the way that I used to train, but I'm not sure if I can actually do it, and am I taking the easy way out by adjusting things, and what should that look like, all that sort of stuff. So that's what we're going to get into today. I think a lot of people who have started running, I think that there's probably a bit of carryover from that initial period of time, because in that, I remember when I started and it was took so much work to convince me to get out the door and get to the gym or like go for a run outside or whatever it was, and there was this sort of like after like probably I guess like 30 years of avoiding all forms of movement, there was this certain, I guess at the time I would consider it laziness. Now I'm not sure if I would consider it that. I would probably more think of it as a level of like being intimidated that presented itself as laziness, but sort of have that thing of like constantly like needing to push through that resistance and that barrier. And then after you've been running for a while, that kind of feeling like you're maybe being lazy or taking the easy way out will often come up when it's really not the case. So you'll often, like people who have been running for a while, it's often harder to take a rest day than it is to go for a run, because you're like, oh, should I go? Should I not go? And you've like cultivated these habits and you really don't want to kind of like have that sort of backslide. So I think it's important from the outset when we're talking about this to look at the fact that most people have zero problem with hard work and we're probably going to err on the side of more work than less work. And particularly with something like running, where it is something that you enjoy and it's something that you love, so it doesn't really feel like hard work. And, you know, like a perfect example of this is like oftentimes I'll look at, you know, say I have like a tempo workout on, or, you know, like a fartlek session or intervals, whatever it is, something that's like a little bit harder than what my easy running is. And I'll often look at that and go, gee, you know, like I've had a lot on this week. I'm a little bit tired. I've been a little bit stressed. I can just go in and do this at 80% and it'll be fine. And I have full intention of doing it at 80%. And yet when it comes to the actual workout, I always smash it out. And not like, I'm not like sort of time trialing it, but it's not at like 80% for what the workout should be. It's at like 100% for what the workout should be. And I think that most people are the same. And I think over the last year, a lot of people's circumstances have changed. So, you know, if you've had, there's been a lot of redundancies, which can mean like taking on more work. So that's been going on. It's also been situations where people have probably had to take on like extra hours just to sort of cope with everything. A lot of people have sort of taken the opportunity with COVID to sort of like reskill as well. So, you know, like there's possibly going back to uni if you're a bit like me who've done like all three of those things. And so what I'm hearing a lot from people is that the situation at work is more intense, the hours are longer, and there's more demands in terms of everything, that they've got going on, just with, and you know, like maybe it's not COVID related, maybe it is, but for whatever reason, that's what I'm seeing. And so this kind of introduces this tension of like, okay, like in the past, I've always been able to say, you know, like run 5 days a week and, you know, like have a long run of, you know, like 2.5 hours, whatever it is. I've been, had no problem doing, you know, like an hour and a half in the morning or like whatever. And now it's like, actually that is really challenging with the way all the other aspects of my life are. And the tension is like, okay, do I adjust my running to my life as it is and go, okay, what I can manage reliably every day, or every day that I'm running during the week, is say 30 minutes or 40 minutes. And then on the weekend, like maybe it's, you know, an hour and a half or whatever, whatever it is that you've got going on. Do I adjust my running to my life, or do I kind of like try to adjust my life to my running, and like maybe I'll just get up earlier, or like maybe I will organize to, you know, do some work from home so I have a bit more flexibility, all those sorts of things. Like, do I just muscle through it? Like, what's the plan here? Because I feel like by doing less than maybe what I've done in the past, or maybe taking a different focus, like maybe looking at working on 5k instead of 10k, or maybe looking at half and maybe not doing that marathon, or like not doing that big stage event, or that ultra run, or whatever it is, it can be easy to look at those choices as a step back, or, you know, like a detraining of some kind, or that you're going to be going like backwards rather than moving forwards. Like, all of those fears about it are really natural. And it can be a tough one, because for the most part, even with things that might feel like a bit of a stretch time-wise, like you could probably do the running, you know, like, because, you know, you could easily do like most distances with sticking to, you know, 45-minute sessions through the week, and then like a longer run on the weekend. Yeah, it's doable, but what's the challenge is not oftentimes, it's not really the running. It's always comes back to, yeah, but can you recover from it? And certainly had a very big example of that this week. I did a 36K run at an easy pace as my last long run before the marathon. And I'd also sort of skipped two long runs because I was sick as well. So bit of a shock to the system. And I actually felt really good on the run. The run itself felt good. It was about, you know, it was just under 4 hours, I think, what I did it in. But this week, like, I can just feel how under recovered I am as I would normally be from a long run. And it's exactly that kind of thing that you've got to be really careful about. So when you're thinking about things, it's less like, can I eke out every last minute for running, and more like, yeah, but can I recover from it? And recovery is like in terms of sleep, obviously, but it's also in terms of like what you're eating, sort of like mobility and body maintenance, all of that sort of stuff that goes into it. And it's all of the kind of like non-fun, other than sleep. I like sleep. Sleep is fun. But a lot of it doesn't have that same sort of like rewarding nature of running. And so you deprioritize it. But when you're looking at it, it needs to be something that you can recover from. And if you can't, it just ends up being like a recipe for injuries and stress fractures and all sorts of things that you don't want. So the first step with this kind of thing is, and it's probably the most important one, is to make that mental adjustment that more isn't better. And that goes for both training and for distance. Like, there tends to be, because running is so measurable, there tends to be this idea that, you know, like, a marathon is more impressive than a half, and a half is more impressive than a 10K, and all of that sort of stuff. But in reality, we know that that's not the case, because oftentimes, like, the hardest thing you'll ever do is a park run PB, or, you know, like the other day, somebody at the gym was talking about how, you know, like, something to do with the time domain of, like, you can't, oh, I know what it was. It was like a 5-minute time domain for a bunch of stuff we were doing at the gym, and they were saying how you can't really, like, go too much into the pain cave when it's 5 minutes. And I was joking with another runner at the gym. It was, like, clearly said by somebody who's never run a hard mile, because that is insane. So you can make pretty much anything can be as hard or as easy as you want it to be. So, and I guess, like, we kind of get caught a little bit in this world of Strava and social media, where probably, you know, like, for people who are seeing your stuff, you know, somebody is always going to be, like, very easily impressed by your super long run and not even know, like, how bloody impressive, like, a hard mile that you did is. But take a step back from that and just, like, reframe your sense of, like, those distances in terms of, like, one being more worthwhile than the other. And you know, like, which is one of the, I think one of the great things about, you know, like, also sort of, like, expanding, like, maybe, you know, like, that kind of sort of social media stuff that you're consuming. So you're not just following, you know, like, ultra runners, like, maybe, you know, like, I love keeping up with all of the, like, the track stuff and the middle distance stuff and the sprinting and all of that kind of thing, because, like, to me, it it's just as impressive. And so that, I would say, is sort of, like, your first step is to kind of, like, have a sort of, like, values neutral approach to, like, what you're training for. And that's going to be a great way to not feel like, if you sort of, like, trained for marathons last year, that it's not taking a step back. Because anytime you work on a shorter distance, it is going to benefit the longer distance as well. So even if ultimately that longer distance is your long-term goal, all the short stuff that you do is only going to benefit it. Your next step is to then sort of, like, take a look at your week and look at what could you do pretty much every week without fail, even if there are a few curveballs thrown your way. So maybe that's 30 minutes a couple of times during the week. Maybe it's 45 minutes. Maybe it's an hour. Whatever it is. And also, it's good to think about too, like, if you have stuff that's on the weekends, like, whether it's family stuff or work stuff, or, you know, like, I often do a lot of study on the weekends. And what I've found is that sometimes, like, if I have, like, quite a long run, then my brain's kind of mush for the rest of the day, and it's not always great. So also sort of not just keeping in mind, like, what the actual time that you can manage is, but also how that time then impacts on the other things that are happening that weekend. You know, like, it's often a time when, you know, like, my kids want to, like, do do shopping or go out, and, you know, and I want to make sure that I have like enough energy and capacity to do that, not be just like lying down for the rest of the day. So once you sort of look at that, the reality is that regardless of the time, you could probably almost train for anything. But in general, what I tend to plan for is if you're training for a marathon, it's good to have a few 3-hour runs in there. I generally don't like to go above that because I think it just puts you in like more of a, you know, recovery hole than you need for limited benefit. For, you know, a half, I think it is good to go over the distance a few times, but that's also personal. You can also go under, you know. Plenty of people have trained for halves with running, you know, 15, 16 kilometers in training. That's not really a problem. I like to go over, so I get really comfortable with that over distance, so then when it comes to the half, it feels quite fast. But that's a personal preference, and it's not 100% necessary for training. So for a half, you probably want to work in some 2 to 2.5 hour long runs. For 10Ks, also over distance is useful. So for that, you're probably looking at, you know, 1 to 1.5 hour long runs. And similar thing with 5Ks, you're probably looking at some long runs of, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. And you can kind of look at like what in that scenario is going to sort of like work best for your week with what you've got on, and also getting enough sleep and having time to feed yourself and all the rest of it. And when you're working out that planning, what you want to do is also think about, okay, I need to get 8 hours of sleep. So, you know, I was even listening to somebody talk about this the other day, where they have a rule that if they don't get 8 hours sleep, then they don't get to go to the gym, or, you know, in our case, go for a run, which I thought, and it's like such a hard rule because, you know, like you always want to go, but setting up some things, like if I don't go to bed at this particular time, then I don't get the reward of my run, can really incentivize you to get to bed at a certain amount of time. So you really want to be looking at, okay, like if I need to do or want to do like an hour run in the morning, I need to start at 6. If I'm starting at 6 and let's say it's taking me, you know, like half an hour to get ready, so therefore I'm getting up at 5:30, and so, you know, with that in mind, then I need to be in bed at this specific time so I get 8 hours, and just like developing some hard cutoffs for that. And if you have trouble winding down, then that might lead into other things like, okay, so I need to be in bed, let's say, you know, like at 9:30 or whatever it is, but in order for me to be ready to sleep at 9:30, I actually need to start doing some of my wind down stuff at 9, and you know, starting to work that in there as part of the whole package. And so then you've got, okay, like I got my schedule, I've got like my sleep plan for how that's going to happen, but I also know that there are a couple of other things that I need to work in that are going to keep me strong, keep me injury proof. And so that might be, you know, you getting your 2 strength sessions in a week, and maybe you need to sacrifice some runtime for that. So maybe instead of running 5 times a week, you run 3 times and you do your strength training twice a week. And it might also be going, okay, I also know that I feel best when, you know, like I am doing some foam rolling or some mobility, and so I need to kind of like work out some time for that as well. You can see how it all adds up. And so, you know, like running for a certain amount of week isn't just running for a certain amount of week. There's all sorts of things that support it. And when you're time poor, your first instinct is to ditch all of the things that support it. But it's when you are under pressure in other areas, it's even all of those supports are even more important. So it is one of those things where it just gets you into a really high risk category when you're stressed in one area of your life. You're cutting down on the things that are going to protect your body, and you're doing more of the things that are going to put you in a riskier category, and you're probably not sleeping enough. So it is just one of those things that when you're planning, don't just think of the running. Think of everything that surrounds the running that is going to support it, because one of the best things that you can do in periods of like higher stress is to have this really beneficial thing like running that is going to be great for your physical and mental health. But it's only going to be great for your physical and mental health if you're not injured. And I'd say like one of the next steps, once you've done all of that, so you've got what your training is and what sort of like type of events it's going to work for, you've got all of the things that are supporting your training, from what you're eating to how much you're sleeping to your body work, you've got all of that happening. It's within a time frame so that it doesn't feel like it's exerting more pressure on your work and family and study commitments. And so it's just something that's adding to you and not taking away. So all of that is happening. The next thing that I think is really good to focus on is stepping away from things that are super, super measurable. One of the cool things about running is that it's so measurable, but it can also be potentially demotivating when your life has other focuses and you're like, well, I ran this time in this particular year when I had a lot less stress, a lot less work, a lot less commitments, was able to sort of go all in on all of these things, and now I'm doing all of this other stuff and my time's not quite where it used to be. So it feels like you should be able to compare them, but you can't really. So that's one of the reasons why I quite like picking things that are less a point of comparison, because I think it, you know, it makes it more fun. It's less about like, it's not necessarily about, you know, like everything has to be a PB, you know, it's just sort of, you know, so whether that's an event that I haven't done before, or I really like the kind of the multi-event things. So they have this at the Pan Pac Masters, where you do a bunch of different distance events that are quite close to one another over several days. And so you're not going to be running all out for any of them, because you're aware you've got to do something the next day. I also like the, that's one of the things that I liked at the Warwick Pentath too. That was five events over 2 days, so they're quite fun. And also just doing things with a group of people, and so it's more about the experience and less about the time, and just like taking some of that potential pressure out of that can be a good thing. Or maybe it's sort of like most of that through your year is like that, and then you pick one thing where you're gonna like, I'm really gonna like go out and test myself in this like particular distance on this particular day, which can be good too. But just being aware of what is gonna make you feel fulfilled versus getting into this trap of comparison when all things aren't equal. And don't be afraid to sort of like go and do something that's well away from what you would normally do. Like I was even looking at sort of like with the marathon in a few weeks, I guess now. And so I always like to think a little bit about what's after that, because otherwise you do that and then, you know, like not have, if there's nothing set up afterwards, then you can be like in a bit of a blur sort of hole for a bit afterwards. So I've been sort of thinking about that, and there are a few things going on towards the end of the year. Like I've been thinking about the Pan Packs, which are in November, and that kind of thing. But I have, like, in the past quite enjoyed like doing some of the shorter distance stuff, which sort of complements the strength training possibly a little bit more than the longer stuff, and sort of thinking about that and maybe working on some strength goals, that kind of thing. I haven't really sort of got anything locked down as yet, and I think I'd always sort of like keep you know, like I quite enjoy a 1.5 to a 2 hour long run. So even if I was doing shorter stuff, I think that that's sort of the thing that I might keep. But it is worthwhile sort of like just, there's a lot more within the scope of what you can do with running rather than just 5K, 10K, half marathon, ultra. You know, like there's so much that you can do. And so the last time I really did short stuff was probably before the Pan Packs, which is like, I guess it's close to 3 years ago now, because I do them every 2 years, and last year was cancelled and postponed. And so I did a whole bunch of stuff with like 600s and 800s, like a lot of middle distance stuff, and where my longest run was 13 kilometers. And for like somebody now who runs like probably average 90 to 100 kilometers a week, having that block of 50 kilometers was like a big sort of change. So yeah, just don't be afraid to sort of like make those changes and see what happens. Because you might find something that you really enjoy, you know, like it's, I think that it is a great time to experiment with things that you don't have any way of comparing them. And I guess the final point with, like, when you're making that decision of like, do you adapt your running to your life or your life to your running? And for the most part, it's always going to be the first one. But sometimes it might be also like looking at it and going, okay, like this is where I am, like with my work commitments and my study commitments and everything that I've got on. But it's actually not quite where I want to be. I actually would like to be kind of like over here, and there's this gap between where I am and where I want to be. And so it can also be about like, actually, if I was going to like work out like how I would ideally like everything to be, it would look quite different. And then kind of like working out of a bit of a plan on like how to get from like point A to point B. And that can also be a great way to feel good about like making the changes right now, but knowing that it's not permanent, you know, like that's a few weeks ago now, but I had a fair few weeks where like I was probably like doing contract work like 40 hours a week. I was probably doing, you know, 10 hours of coaching a week, and I was probably doing, you know, like about, you know, at least, I don't know, like at least 15 hours of study a week. And I was like, this is not a sustainable thing. And so then that is a thing of like, I can't adapt to this level of hours in my life. So I then had to look at, you know, like outsourcing some of that and making some changes, which is what I did. So, but there can also be long-term things. I can also look at that and go, in the long term, this is what I'd like my training to look like. This is what I'd like my paid work to look like. This is what I'd like in terms of like time with my kids, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And then kind of go, okay, now I just need to make a plan to get from here to there. So that's also also something to think about it. And it's just a really cool thing that running is so flexible that it can be with you all the way through that process, you know, going from, you know, like whether you're running for a small amount of time or a really long amount of time to sort of support you in different stages of whatever you're doing. And there's always going to be things things that you can do. I think just keep in mind that, like, you can, it can tend to feel like if you're used to running a certain amount, like say, like, well, I get up and I run for 45 minutes and it can feel like, and then that's your sort of like your measuring stick for something that you consider worthwhile. But just remembering that everything is worthwhile, and when situations change, that has to change too. Thank you for listening this week. If you are going to be up on the Gold Coast, let me know, because I will be there for a couple of days, so I can like catch all of the events on the Saturday as well as the Sunday. And if you have any questions that you would like answered on the podcast, just shoot me a message. Also on, there's a bunch of bonus stuff that's on Patreon. So if you want to subscribe to the bonus podcast, you can head over there. There's a range of levels that you can decide how much you want to support me in Operation Move, but all levels get you the same access to everything. So that's just about, you contribute what you want, and you get access to everything that's there. You can check that out at patreon.com/opmove. I'll chat to you next time.